Several years ago, our daughter Liz participated in a nonprofit funding competition. There were tens of thousands of dollars on the line. Liz went out on a large stage, and in front of hundreds of people, she gave an elevator talk regarding her nonprofit company, Adi Collective. An elevator talk is like a five-minute speech to explain something. It might be your company, your vision, your dream, your advocacy for some cause or group. An elevator talk is a condensed, compressed, precise, hit the high points, communicate the essentials talk. Friends, the Apostles' Creed is the elevator talk for the Christian faith. And today, that elevator talk says, quote, "The third day he rose from the dead," unquote. The resurrection of Jesus is essential. The resurrection is central. It is core, load-bearing wall, a core footer to the foundation, part of the Christian faith and our message of good news for the world. Christianity is not simply about a good moral and ethical leader who shows us a better way to live. He was, he is, and he does, but the resurrection is the essential. Resurrection is essential because it is the public demonstration of God's victory over sin, over death, and hell itself. The death of Jesus on a Roman cross is a great act of redeeming love, but if it ends there, then all it really is a tragic story. Confirming Billy Joel's theory, only the good die young. If the Jesus story really ends with his death on a cross, then the persons and systems of power aligned against Jesus won. Rome executed another would-be Messiah agitator and shows the Jewish world and others that once again the empire rules. Not only does Rome win, but there is no victorious descending to the dead. There is no harrowing of hell that we heard about last week. And Jesus, frankly, is made to be either delusional or an outright liar. For Jesus said about himself in John 11:25, quote, "I am the resurrection and the life," unquote. Now, Jewish people understood what he meant by resurrection. They had no thoughts of some metaphorical use of the word. Resurrection meant the physical resurrection of God's people to a new physical life in the fullness of God's reign amidst a new creation. The resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter morning is the public validation of Jesus' claim to be God and of God's great redeeming act of love and justice in the midst of human history. So when we say, "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed," we really mean this. Folks, to believe in Jesus does not simply mean that we believe he lived or believe that he was a great moral and ethical teacher and leader. It doesn't even mean we merely believe he was some unique worker of miracles. Our friends within Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism would believe all these things about Jesus. The distinctive of the Christian faith is that we believe that Jesus is the risen Lord. We believe his death and resurrection publicly testifies to God's victory over the powers of sin, death, and hell. We know that we are forgiven because the power of sin has been broken through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Resurrection is essential as well because it is the guarantee of our future bodily resurrection. The Apostle Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, saying, quote, "Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," unquote. 2 weeks ago, Gigi and I were returning home from a Sam's Club pickup. We were on Three Mile Road when we saw the signage for Fresh Sweet Michigan Cherries. They had just set up their stand. We pulled in, cash in hand, mask on face, and walked away with our First Fruits of Michigan Sweet Cherries. Here's the idea behind First Fruits. When we bought those cherries, we knew we wouldn't just enjoy those cherries in hand. We knew these were like a guarantee of future sweet cherries over the coming weeks. There would be more sweet cherries to enjoy. I mentioned earlier that the Jewish people of Jesus' day understood what resurrection is and looked forward to it in their future when God would redeem all of creation and end all injustice, wickedness, all sin. But one could say, well, that's a nice hope, a wonderful dream, but it's only that. It's just a pipe dream that makes people feel better. That all changes with Jesus' resurrection. God is showing us that his promise is real. The hope is rooted in reality, in history. Death is overcome, sin is broken, evil systems that seem so powerful and so permanent are in fact defeated. And the dream of a world without sin, without evil, without injustice, a world in which God reigns, God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, that dream, that longing, that hope is totally legit. And Jesus is the proof. Jesus is the first fruits that confirms this. Let me say one more thing about this. God's intent is to save not just my soul, but my entire being, including my physical body. God, the creator of our physical world and cosmos, God who called it all good, values the physical. Our future is not some floating soul with no body, but because we see the risen Jesus, he is the first fruits that says, this is your future too. Our future is not simply we die and go to heaven. Our future is resurrection bodies inhabiting a new heaven and new earth, a new creation where heaven and earth are one and God reigns in fullness over his new creation. Now that raises all sorts of questions. Will I have hair? Will I be taller, shorter, thinner, wider? How old will I appear? Folks, all I know is that Jesus defeated sin and death in his resurrection, and he defeated these for all of us. I know that Jesus' resurrection was a bodily resurrection. He was not some bodiless ghost. He invited Thomas to see and touch his hands, to stick his fingers in the spear wound. Mary clung to him. I know that he was the same, but Jesus was different as well. I know when I spoke at my parents' funeral and at their gravesides that this was not game over, death wins. I know they are with the Lord, but I know too that one day there will be resurrection for them as well, and they will receive glorified bodies and will be together with that great cloud of witnesses the writer of Hebrews references, the saints who have gone before us. All will experience the resurrection of the body amidst a new heaven and new earth. What a day that will be! And Jesus is the guarantee of this through his resurrection. Resurrection is essential because it is the public demonstration of God's victory over sin, over death, and hell itself. Resurrection is essential because it is the guarantee of our own future bodily resurrection. And lastly, the resurrection of Jesus is what makes Christianity unique among all world religions. All religions are not the same, and to say they are is really to do them a great injustice. It dilutes and even demeans the distinct and important differences between them. Unique to Christianity is the claim that God has come in the flesh, incarnation. Jesus, the fullness of God in our midst, and he was crucified, died, was buried, and that he rose from the dead. This is key to the Christian faith. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through 19, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's what Paul says. Pitied because we have no hope for the future. Pitied because we have believed a lie. The Apostle Paul willingly puts the entire credibility of the Christian gospel on the truthfulness of the resurrection of Jesus. Without the resurrection, the Christian gospel is really no different from Islam, Hinduism, or Buddhism. We would be just another human religion trying to make sense of life and the divine. But we are different. We are unique. Christianity is a global proclamation of specific historic acts that have transpired, demonstrating God's power, grace, and love. We are not simply declaring religious ideas that inspire humanity, though our message does inspire and transform. Christianity is not a pragmatic opiate to help us cope with the ins and outs, the ups and downs of life. We are proclaiming historical truths, historical events upon which the entire history of the world is determined. Friends, this is why we sing, "Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. On the third day, he, the historical Jesus, rose again." Join me as we pray. Risen, living, and victorious Jesus, can I wrap my head around this? You physically died, but you then upended death itself and physically, bodily, took up life again. Oh my gosh, you conquered death. You conquered the grave. You conquered sin and the power of death it wielded. And you did this for me and for all of humanity. Thank you for such incredible news, for such wondrous hope. Thank you that I can stand at the grave of loved ones and even consider my own mortality and say with faith, hope, and assurance, this is not the last word. The worst thing is not the last thing. Because you, Jesus, have risen, so shall I and others to a new creation in the fullness of God's reign. Hallelujah. And now, until that day, may I live as an ambassador of this good news and hope. Amen. And now, friends, as we have each Sunday in this series, I invite you to stand as you are able and join me as we proclaim the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen."